Hi, Kevin.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm
you a little sick. A little sick.
I have a an upper respiratory infection. I am
Sounds great. The
promethazine and the codeine.
And you're drinking alcohol.
No, I'm not. I'm refraining. Because I've been warned against it by our illustrious guest.
Yes.
Are you well? Are you having a good week?
I'm good.
Yeah?
How are you?
I'm good. No yeah. nap today, though, for you, huh?
No nap.
Okay. Well, good. I our guest is a lot of things. An incredible singer, rapper, director, songwriting game, pen game, very strong.
Yeah, pretty crazy, right?
Excited to talk about that.
Yeah.
A solstress, maybe the first lady of Chicago hip hop. Someone who has been also a poet.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who's been putting work in this city for a long time, and whose career really I think we're just beginning to see the fruits of in a lot of ways. So excited for her to be here in the corner store.
Yes,
Jeanne Doe.
Hey.
Well, now you got to play the thing.
I know. Damn, I forgot. Yeah,
he has this app. No, he has the app that does the sounds, you know?
Oh, the claps.
Okay, yeah, a little late. But anyway, better late than never. We'll get it.
I know.
Yeah, exactly. You're right.
And
speaking
also,
of habits.
Yes,
speaking of habits.
Right.
First of all, Jeanne Doe, welcome
yes.
to the corner store.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And
y'all got back on
we're on Instagram Live.
That's not one of the gifts we have for you.
Okay.
Also just want to comment
only.
before very fly on the Gucci tee.
This is my boyfriend's. I didn't ask permission.
Okay, all right.
Hey,
but look,
boo.
Seek forgiveness, ask permission later.
Love you.
So, we have some gifts for you just right off the bat. I think and hope you'll appreciate these. These are some Vintner Curly Crunchy Curls.
Hot Crunchy Curls.
Yeah, you already know. Yeah.
Taking me back to fifth grade.
Right, okay.
What's good?
Thank you. I wanted to be a little healthier today.
I see that.
Yeah, so
that cost you like $4, right?
I don't know how much. This is an organic peach tea, an honest tea.
Oh, you
that's the tea on that.
Yeah, there you
exactly.
go.
Exactly.
And some organic gummy bears.
I love these.
You do?
These
okay.
Silly
well, you know, I'll tell you what. There, it was like twofer. So
yeah.
I'll be eating those shits.
I got you some. Yes, I'm always thinking about you.
Hey, thanks for being here. And
thanks for the snacks.
I hope you, please feel free to enjoy them now if you wish.
Yeah, we like sound effects.
Yeah.
So if you want to be like,
no,
mic.
You can get right in the mic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know. They want that? Okay.
Yeah, right. Great. I love that.
Right. It feels like you're in a corner store. You know what I mean? That's what it is.
Yeah, right.
Well, I'm glad you're sipping your tea, and please
Thank
feel
you.
Free to, enjoy those or share them later or now. Yeah, man. So
emphasis on now.
Right.
No, I don't. Well, okay. Right. Uh-huh. You do want a gummy bear?
Pass it around.
I mean, kind of.
Okay.
Pass it around.
But like, don't you?
I don't eat those shits, but
okay,
I'm very particular
really...
about my diet. No, it's no shots. I just
are you?
Sometimes.
Okay, that's news to me.
Really?
You just don't eat dessert.
I know. I don't have much of a sweet tooth.
Mm-mm.
I should cut down on sweets.
Yeah.
I should.
Mm.
Emphasis on shit.
Okay, right. You don't have to. I'm not your
I might not.
Or your dietitian.
I mean, I don't.
Are you? You just kind of like, I eat healthy.
No, that is not even what I said. I just said I have a particular diet. But Jeanne Doe, let's, you of course are a native to the land of
yes,
Chicago.
I am.
So where did you grow up? Where are you from?
I grew up North Lawndale, it's the west side of Chicago. My great grandparents are from Memphis on my mom's dad's side. So my great grandfather bought a building in North Lawndale. So my grandfather lived there, and then my mom lived there like later in her life. And then when I was born, I lived there for a few years. So after that, we lived all over the west side. Like my dad had a building on Cicerone, Ohio, and then we moved around the city. Like, I moved to the south side. I lived out south, but mostly from the west side, though.
Okay.
True.
Do you know when your great-grandparents came to Chicago?
Honestly, no. I feel like I should get a history lesson sometimes, but no, I don't know when they came here. Probably, like, maybe the 70s, probably.
Okay.
I would assume.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's not part of... I was thinking of... What is that? When everyone came from the
Great
South?
Great Migration.
Yeah, yeah. But that was way earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But that certainly that's a good question to ask the people. You know. So do you remember growing up in North Lawndale, or did you move out before you were...
I remember a lot of specific things about North Lawndale, which I feel like now kind of like stand out in the old culture. Like, I remember getting my hair braided by this woman who lived down the street, but she was so bow-legged. Like, and I don't mean this in a bad way. Like, she was bow-legged, so, like, she really, like, kind of squat, like, to walk. And so she would come and do my hair, and I would tell my mom, like, you got to stop making her do my hair because I think that I made her like this. Like, because I have to sit, like, right
there.
You're
little, right?
And I'm little, and she has to braid my hair sitting like that. And so I was like, that probably happened because she was doing everybody's hair. And I was like, Mom, you got to stop letting her do my hair. Like, it was just, like, little stuff like that. And then growing up on, like, Michael Jackson in the house. And I think that was the only time we ever had an instrument in the house. Like, I don't know whose it was, but somebody in my family had a piano. So I do remember just, like, staying up and just, like, playing around the keys. I never really learned any chords or anything like that. But just, like, small little things from there, like the old-fashioned, like, architecture of the building. Like, all the walls used to be stucco, and we used to jump on the bed and hit your head on the ceiling. And that's, like... You might have a concussion because it's kind of sharp, you know? So, nah, it was just, like, little things. Not anything, like, extreme, but it was definitely, like, back in, like, the 90s, like, early Chicago hood, West Side, you know?
Yeah. Who did you grow up with? Who was in the house, and who helped raise you?
I mean, my grandfather was probably the direct help to my mom for the first few years of my life. My mom's the oldest of like her siblings, especially on my granddad's side. So she kind of, you know, my younger aunts and uncles would be there, but they weren't really any help because they're only a few years older than me. So it was just pretty much us. And then, you know, my dad was around, but he didn't live there. So it was pretty much it. It was kind of simple. It's probably why I remember so much of it, because it was just like routine, live with my granddad, live with my mom. And it was just cool, you know? I was the only child for a little while, so
right.
It worked.
But you have a sister.
No, she has, like, three sisters, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I have three little sisters. I have four little sisters, and I have one older sister. Yeah.
Okay. Bunch
three
of girls.
On my mom's side. All girls. Three on my mom's side, and two on my dad's side.
Uh-huh. And what did your mom and your grandpa, what did they do? What did they do?
Well, my mom, it's funny because my mom now, she's like a writer. She's working on a children's book. She's also working on a book about her life. But back in the day, when I was young, she used to like manage R&B groups. And so like my godmom can sing her butt off. And so she had like five sisters and they all could sing. And so my mom was like managing them. And I remember they were trying to do something with Uncle Luke. And, like, hearing the story now, I'm like, Uncle Luke, Jesus. But then it was, like, back then he was a big name, so it was, like, a big deal. And then my grandfather is actually really into photography and film, which I picked up naturally. I didn't really plan. And now growing into it and, like, directing and, like, going further into that, I kind of see the influence. Like, my uncle's a photographer and, like, my grandfather's a photographer and they're both heavily into like cameras and film and all of that stuff. My grandfather was probably the best bootlegger I know to this day.
Oh, word?
Of the movies.
Yes.
I probably shouldn't say.
Don't say his name.
Allegedly.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
allegedly.
She claims.
Yeah.
Allegedly. But he also doesn't do it anymore, so.
Also, no name. I mean, we're not mentioning any names.
Right.
But that was, I mean, would he sell like out on Maxwell Street, or where would he actually move his wares?
He is a great man. He didn't sell his bootleg movies. He was just really into like film and like,
I think,
the actual process that he would just like show up. Like, you know, people would pay him on some community stuff. He'd be like, oh, you got to see this movie, man. And I remember we saw a Halle Berry movie. It's this movie where she plays this woman who had a split personality. It's called Frankie and something. And that movie just came out like maybe a year or two ago. But I saw that when I was like 10 years old.
Because
my grandfather had it on bootleg.
But like, where did he get it from?
I literally don't know.
That's
like
crazy.
I feel like maybe the like marketing wise, I feel like they probably did like a focus group, and then like the movie wasn't ready, so
they
got
like
shelved for
it?
A long time. Huh. Like thinking about behind the scenes, but when it came, I'm like, okay, granddad, you got the exclusives. Like yeah, it was coming out in theaters. I'm like, I seen this years ago. That's crazy. So I still don't know how he does that. I don't know.
That's a pretty creative environment to grow up in.
Yeah, it was. All of the things that I like to do, like writing and poetry and all that stuff, kind of led me to the other things that I got into. My first camera was from like doing this poetry competition for WGN Radio.
Oh. Hey, I think. Shout out.
And they were doing some type of competition in. I wrote this poem, and the poem was like really sad. It was just talking about like the violence in the city, and I was 13 years old, and the poem was like, oh, I wrote my will and I'm only 13, like it's real in these streets. And they was just like, oh my god. And I like tied with this dude who's a rapper, but we both got like a check, and they gave us all, everybody who was a contestant got one of those flip cameras. And so we just went home. Me and my little sisters went to town. We started making videos.
You like, can make videos with it?
Yeah. Oh. And it was a flip, so like the USB flip and goes right
into
the
computer.
Oh, yeah. Go those crazy.
And I was already obsessed, like knew how to use the computer, so it was just like, it was over with after that. And yeah, it's some secret videos on YouTube. It was that period. Okay.
Secret. I guess you don't want to share.
We did a lot of embarrassing things. We did that I'm not proud for people to see.
So what came first for you? Did you begin as a writer? Did you begin as someone taking photographs? What was the earliest creative memory that you have?
I think the earliest one was, I mean, my mom wanted, she thought I was going to be like this Disney star, this like commercial. So that was the earliest experience I had creatively, was getting into acting, getting into theater, getting into plays, doing commercials, like using my personality to try to like, you know, like get some type of career, I guess, going.
Like child star type?
Yeah. Well, how old are you at this time?
I'm about to be 23.
No, but like when?
Oh, when that this was happening? Yeah. It started, my mom started probably scouting me when I was maybe 2 years old.
Oh, wow.
The first audition I had was for the Oscar Mayer Wiener commercial.
You must have been a cute baby.
That was cute. I had these edges my whole life, so you can imagine the baby hair has been on fleek.
Subtle flex.
My whole life.
You know.
Yeah.
But no, I started there, and, you know, I'm not against it, acting, but I think I was just, like, creative and just wanted to be expressive all the time. It all kind of started together, like all of the things I do now were all hobbies as a child. Like my grandma, she would record us like with the home video camera, and I would be in the Garfield Conservatory, which is down the street from my grandma's house still, and I'm like, oh, reporting live, we're at the Garfield Conservatory. And I have my little sister right here, and I'm interviewing her, and she's like not following the script, and I'm like, grandma, cut.
That's so dope.
Cut. She's ruining it. And then we would do like fake music videos to send up in my room with Brandy, and I was just like on the couch just like dancing and like lip singing and stuff. It was all super cute, and we tried to do plays and all that. My grandma was very, very, very like encouraging, because she's a grandma. Your grandma's supposed to gas you, like that's her job. So she was just like, oh my god, y'all so talented, like let's do this all day, like every day, let's just make content like and watch it, like. And she just encouraged us, so it kind of started there. And I was already acting and writing like gospel songs in my diary. And so I don't know, sometimes I feel like, damn, am I slow? I feel like it was just written out for me what I was supposed to do, and I just still didn't get it. Like even in high school, I wasn't sure.
Really?
I wasn't.
Well,
I mean,
when did you begin to? Because it sounds like you have been doing it your whole life,
right.
And you've been surrounded by not only this family of creatives, but also an environment that was supportive of your own creativity. So when did it begin to click for you that this was something that you might take seriously for yourself?
Like I said, I think I'm such a delayed person. I'm just kind of like in the moment. I started singing maybe like 15. So. Like singing like
long.
Into it. It's really not. Yeah. So I started singing about 15, and I started working in the studio with Saba and Pivot Gang, and like Walt introduced me to like my family, who I like grew to learn about. And around then, it was just fun. Like, I had been doing poetry for so long, like, competitively, and working with the U-Media team and working with Brother Mike. And now I'm like, oh, okay, I heard Kimbe X. I heard him rap. He remixed Drive Slow. And I was like, I want to do this. Like, I want to be rapping on a beat. Like, I want to sound hard. Like, all that. And I was into, like, early Nicki Minaj. I was super into early Nicki Minaj. So, like, I was just, like, so into that zone. And I was probably, my first raps were definitely trash. But I definitely started rapping because I was so used to the spoken word. I'm like, all I got to do is rhyme now and say something deep. Like, I can do that already. Like, but I started, like, now I got to think about flow. Now I got to think about delivery. Now I got to think about articulation, and it took a while mastering all of that. But I think it really didn't click until I realized that I could be doing it as a career. Because up until, like, my senior year in high school, I still was like, I don't know what I want to do. I was like, I can go to art school for film, like, but I've never done anything with film for real. I've never made a short film. Like, I've never, like, written a script. I've never been a part of a production. I've never directed anything, like, that I feel strongly about. And so I was like, oh, I could just go to school for something random because I love science. Or I could go to school for, like, literature because I've already been a writer and I've already, like, I have credits, like, doing spoken word. So maybe I can use that. And I did a song with Pivot Gang called One More Time, and it has Benjamin Earl Turner on it.
Yeah.
And we did a video. We actually shot part of that video in my house when I stayed on 19th and Christiana. It's also random, but, like, right around the corner from where they shot Shameless when I was in high school, the TV show. Even though they say they're on the south side, they shot on the west side.
Oh, for
around
yeah,
the corner.
I feel like I heard about that. Yeah,
they shot around the corner from my house.
Like, damn near every Chicago show.
All of it.
All over
the Shy is also literally right around the corner from my house. That same part.
Right, I heard they got the
Kedzie
and
Pink
Mad
Line.
North.
They got the
yeah.
cross street.
The Kedzie
wrong,
Pink
right?
Line is right. Yeah, they tried yeah. to act like it was Garfield Green Line.
Right.
But it's the Kedzie, like, Pink Line stop, which is
it's
right down
weak.
The street. I lived on 19th and Christiana, which is, like, right around there. But anyway, we shot a video in my house over there, and I was rapping. I remember rapping the verse, and my mom was just, like, sitting at the dinner table watching me. And I was just like, have I heard of that? Church girl, but I've heard of that? Like, I'm rapping and stuff. Like, I'm cursing and stuff. And my mom, my little sister, just sitting at the dinner table like, oh, my God, what is she doing? And I was just like, we got to get out of here. But after we did that, I had, like, these people from this pub company, like, hit me, like, after they seen that video, like, oh, like, what do you have coming up next? I'm like,
okay,
what you mean?
Let's go.
What you mean next?
I'm in here at my cousin's house again.
Yeah, going to school
every
tomorrow.
Day. Like, but it's like every, like, for once, I think that summer was maybe like 17. That summer when I was just making music nonstop and I got that email, it was like the first time that it clicked in my head, like, wait, what? I can, like, do this? Like, I can live off of this? I can, like, take care of myself off of this? Maybe getting too ahead of myself, like, oh, this is the hit. Like, this is it. Like, but it was the first time that it kind of clicked for me, like, oh, you can make your hobbies into your actual lifestyle. Like, this isn't just a game or, like, just something cute to do on the side. Like, this is actually something that I can just do for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like when I've interviewed a lot of people, they tell me that Brother Mike was kind of, like, the person who showed them that, you know, that it's, like, a career you could pursue.
Yeah.
Did he do that for you?
Brother Mike, I just want to say Brother Mike was, like, one of the best rappers that I knew coming up. Like, we would be freestyling, and Brother Mike would just come in and just, like, kill the cypher real quick. I remember one time I heard somebody bite one of Brother Mike's lyrics, and I was like, come on, dude, you know that's not yours. Like, but I don't think it was ever more so of, like, him telling us, like, you can do this as a career. I think that he just started giving us opportunities to show us. It was kind of like an After School Matters thing. It's like, this is a job, you know? Like, if you have an opportunity, this is, like, something you work for, something you really care about, something that you don't just, oh, we just gonna write a little poem and show up as a group and look cute. Like, nah, we are gonna come with everything that we have. We're gonna tell real stories. We're gonna criticize each other. We're gonna cry. You know, we're gonna work on all this stuff. And we were all talking about very, very real, honest things. And I think that was the key for a lot of us in Chicago and that community to go forth and make open, honest, vulnerable music. And although it doesn't seem like it, that's some of the best most like fastest growing music right now. It's the music that people feel like, oh, this is real. I can relate to it. I've been here in this specific place, you know, with this specific type of truth. So I think he taught us that. And with that, we learned that it could become a career just by being ourselves and putting our all into it. You know, you got those teachers that are like, oh my God, everything you do is amazing. You're a superstar. And then you got those teachers that really like criticize you and like politely break you down so they can build you up like into something better. And I think that's what he did for all of us.
That was a great answer.
Sorry. Yeah, no, beautiful. you also mentioned John Walt, and we've talked about John a few times on the show. He was your cousin, and he also introduced you. You said not only to Pivot, but also the rest of your family. Yeah. So when did that happen? And I guess what's that story?
It happened down the street from here. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was walking outside of U Media. I was walking outside of media, and the funniest thing, I had heard that Walt was already rapping. This is before, mind you, that I really thought about rapping for real. Like, I thought about doing it as a hobby just because I'm one of those people that I'll start doing something new just so I can be good at it. Like, even if it's not something that I want to do, if I decide tomorrow, like, oh, I'm just going to crochet, like, I want to make a fire-ass scarf, then I'm just over that shit. Like, I'm not gonna go to a crochet competition. True. I'll just get to going crazy. Like, I'm just be at the crib sometimes. But, like, with the music, it was just, like, super different. So, I wasn't even at that stage yet. And I found out that Walt was rapping. And I was just like, okay. And I was making spoken word. That was back when, for some reason, everybody wanted you to do, like, a poem, like, on some Kanye, like, intro to my tape. I had a lot of people asking me to do that. And I think that's what kind of planted the seed for, like, I want to be on beat. Like, I don't want to just be over the beat talking about, yeah, these words and this and that and oh, yeah. Like, I don't want to do that. Like, I want to come hard. Like, I don't want people to just think I'm Lauryn Hill.
Sub disses like, every spoken word. Like,
but, you know, I started doing that, and basically I was walking past U Media, and I had saw Walt in there, and I heard that he was rapping, and he was like, oh yeah, come to the studio, and I'm like, nigga, I don't rap, like, I don't know if I can say that word. I don't
say
rap.
Whatever you want.
I don't rap, like, this is not my thing, you know, like, I'm not even trying to get into that. Also, this is my cousin, like.
But what year is this, sir?
This is, like, my freshman or sophomore year in high school. So I was super young. But this is like my cousin. So imagine just somebody like being like your random cousin, like, just decide to rap. It's like, okay. What does that have to do with me? Right. So I saw him in the media and I was like, man, what are you doing in here? And then I saw like all of the like Pivot dudes, but I saw Fresh. That's who's performing, and I was like, "Oh man, he look like he going crazy. Let me go up here and see what they talk about." So I walk in there, I see Walt. I'm like, "Oh, what's up, man?" And I see his sisters, like my other cousins. So I was like, "Oh, what you doing here?" They're like, "You know, Walt rapping now and stuff. We just in here, you know, Walt be in here trying to do his little mixtape stuff." I'm like, "Oh, okay." And so Saba and Joseph come up in there just like, hi, hi. You know how they're just like super like energetic. Hi, hi, hi. And I'm just so anti. Like, I don't know what's wrong with me. I've just always been anti. So I'm like, who are these people? Like, they out chipper. And I'm just like, nah, my nigga. I'm good. So like, he was like, oh, these my cousins. And, you know, Saba, Joseph, this my cousin. You know what I'm saying? And so like, Saba was instantly like, so that make we cousins. Like, I'm like, nah, I don't even know y'all. I was like, y'all, and it's funny now because like we so close, but like at the time I was like, I don't even
y'all
know
the same side?
I don't like when people move too fast. Like, we just met, now you like we relatives.
Right.
Nah,
we cool, might be cool. Family, but we, like, not related.
We chill. Let's ease into this your family tree, you feel me? Like, so that was the after they met. Like, Walter literally did not leave me alone about the studio. He texts me, DM me, and everything. Like, come to the studio, guys. Come to the studio. They got a studio. They got a studio in their grandparents' basement. Like, we could just record whatever. And I think, I don't know. I don't remember the first time I went over there. But I remember after, you couldn't get me from over there. Like, and my mom, she didn't understand it because that was the first time me and Walt started hanging out like that. Like, we knew, we was family. It's not like we, like, chill, like, we chill with each other, you know, go hang out. We would just see each other and be together because we were family. But, like, I started hanging out with them, like, all the time, and I would just go over there. Mom, can I spend a night? Called. I've been up there like 4 days in a row, and she's just like, "What's going on over there? Like, what do y'all be doing?" I'm like, "Man, we just be, you know, we chill. We, you know, we family. We just make music." And so, like, that was the biggest turning point in finding out who I was as an artist, finding out that I wanted to do music, finding out that I wanted to take it serious, finding my sound. Like, I really, when it comes to when it comes to that. Finding my voice, I always say, like, Kim Bayan and yes. Kim AX and Alex Wiley really helped me do that.
You were in a group with them.
Yeah.
And Isaiah Rashad?
Yeah, yeah. Isaiah Rashad was in that group, too. So, it's, I mean, the collective is kind of like a family thing, but back then it was, like, a real thing. And that's where I started. I was, like, the only girl, like, in that group, mm-hmm. and we started rapping. But when I started recording with Saba, that's when I really started finding my sound. Right then, it was kind of just like, oh, I'm just trying to rap. Like, I'm just trying to spit bars. I had braces, so it was very difficult, like, to get through some of those words. And then being able to be at a studio every day, that was the first experience I had of that. To wake up and just create, go to sleep, wake up, create. Like, stay up all night, 3 a.m., go to sleep, create. Like,
rap camp. I mean, that's what it is.
And then to have Saba's grandma coming downstairs with pancakes and bacon. Like, it was, like, a real family experience, for real.
Actually. Yeah,
that's really what was the name of your crew with Kembe and them?
We were the Village.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Well, they started a Swag Village. Mm. They made the song. Y'all said I could say whatever, right?
Yeah.
They made the song called "I Be Fucking Nuns."
Oh yeah, we can't talk about nuns on the show. That is the one thing.
I thought you were gonna say something else. No, they yeah. made that. They
because WGN is Catholic affiliated.
Oh, you're serious?
No, he's
not. Oh, I'm like, I'm just, oh my god! I was like, they Catholic. I'm disrespecting people.
No, blasphemous.
I'm about to bring out my rosary. No. They made a song called that. And
wait, what is the name of the song? One more time.
I'm nervous now.
Say it.
I be fucking and.
Is it in the voice of Jesus, or what's the, like,
what's the viewpoint?
I wasn't curious now. It's
and what was your part? Was your part?
I was not on that song. Okay. I was not in Swag Village.
You not be fucking nuns?
I was not in Swag Village. Like, Village was, I feel like, it was around the time that they really, like, Our Future was just coming out. And so this kind of, like, funny rap, like, not serious thing kind of started. And that is where it kind of came from. And so, like, that started. And then, like, you know what I mean? Like, it became the Village. And then we were all serious, making all the serious music.
You guys make good music. There's a lot of good music. And a lot, I think that crew is very important to the sound of Chicago in a lot of ways, because a lot of, like, Alex's melody has really, I think, influenced a lot of rappers to this moment.
Yeah.
But that's a good squad.
Yeah. The definitely some of the early singy trap from Alex.
Yeah.
Kimbe was just inspired me because he was just, like, always so strong. His voice is so strong.
Yeah.
And it really just.
And can write for real.
Yeah, he can really, really write and really rap. So that was, like, you know, when I hear somebody go crazy, it's like, dang, can I do that? Like, right. That's just my first thought. Like, can I go crazy like that? And so it just became me competing with myself, especially as a rapper. I think a lot of people are going to be surprised at the newer music, because I feel like a lot of people look at me as, like, an R&B singer.
Really?
It's like, they do. They really see me as, like, an R&B singer. It's like, there's nothing wrong with that. I love R&B. I grew up on R&B.
And you can sing. You had a beautiful voice.
Yeah, you can sing.
Thank you. Yeah. I feel like singing was newer to me than speaking in melodic.
That's what I felt
words.
Too about
so
you.
That's how I started. I started with rap. I got into singing. I gotten better over the years. I'm still getting better and, like, finally getting trained as a vocalist. So I do enjoy singing. I love making R&B songs. I love making, like, singy songs. But I think it became my sound because so many people want to feature me on songs like that. And so now people think, oh, she sounds like this. But the newer stuff is, like, I have always been a rapper first, and, like, now where I'm at, I want to, like, with the newer tracks, I was just like, every song, I'm like, I could do better. I could do better. I could do better. And some of those songs came out. Like, some of those were features. Piss Po. I did Piss Po with Fresh.
Yeah.
And I remember it went out and people were going nuts. But I swear when I recorded that, Fresh was like, dang, this is fire. And I was like, it could be better. And I was
that's a good place to be.
Yeah, right.
You're hitting the shot. I mean,
and it feels good. That feels great. But at the, I feel like because I feel like that on the inside, like I could do better every time. It pushes me even more, and I'm like, I got verses like on the EP that's just like I got verses that didn't even make the EP that are dumb.
Well, so let's talk about your sound now and what you're working on, because you've been putting out singles that have been more along the lines of R&B, although you continue to pop up on people's records like Fresh, like Felix's joint.
Yo, and you, Bag is my shit.
Yeah, no, that's like, that's the track that on that song. Record, and you body that record. Yeah,
thank
you. Know?
Thank you. That was another song that I was I could do better. I like that song though.
But so what are you working on now, and what could we expect, and how soon can we expect it?
Well, I will say you can expect spring, summer-ish. My birthday is May 4th, so I'm trying to have my rollout somewhere around that time, like in May, not on my birthday, but in May, just like celebrating my Jordan year, you know, get a ring on these niggas. So
listen.
So, I'm just working, like, the newer stuff is, like I said, I'm always challenging myself, and I think that's literally what the EP sounds like. The EP sound, like, yesterday, or, like, the day before yesterday, I made, like, a punk rap song, and, like, it was literally because I was just like, I can't make no more trap, like, I can't make no more R&B, like, I can't make no love song, like, I can't do none of that, like, I don't know what I'm gonna make, but I can't make the same thing for too long. So I think with the EP, I probably made like 50 songs, and I think it's probably the best song from every phase I went through, if that makes sense. Like my trap phase, my jazz phase, my house phase. Like, and it's not phases, like, it's not Drake phases.
It's just different facets.
It's not Drake phases. Like, yeah. This is some stuff that I like all influenced me, but I don't get to, like, you know, these aren't exactly my genre. So, like, I'm not just getting these beats. The beats that, like, the beat selections were, like, I want people to send me stuff that they don't think that I'll like. With producers, they always, when I pick the beat, they're like, dang, this is the one I was questioning. Like, this is the one I wasn't sure that you were going to, like, fuck with. And it's, like, don't underestimate my versatility, because I'm definitely, like, super versatile. And I think that the EP is that, if nothing else.
But I mean, I think you know, you've done a lot of features, and I guess from my point of view, you're still kind of finding what works for you, and it's a lot, you know, like you're exploring all the different facets of your artistry, which I think is cool.
Thank you.
You know, doing something like a punk song.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
But is that difficult when you are kind of figuring out a sound, especially for a broader listenership? To have so much versatility.
This is where I feel like the songwriting aspect comes in. Because, like, as a songwriter, I feel like now, and honestly, just like I said, I'm super delayed. I've just stepped into that kind of title, like, songwriter. It's like, I write all my songs, so I don't really see that as, like, a big title. But now it's, like, being able to write songs for other people and write demos for other people is, like, I've, like, the versatility is so, for me, is so, like, vast that I might write a song that's not for me. That's how I genuinely feel. I feel some artists, everything that they make is from them, is for them, you know, and then other people connect with it. But sometimes I feel like, even, like, the words I write, I might not even know what I'm talking about. I'm like, what the fuck am I talking about? And then maybe a month later, I'm like, damn, this is deep, girl, like... Shit. You know, but, like, that's just, I think that's where songwriting comes in. When I hear, like, the punk rap song, I literally just, like, started singing what I wanted to hear on it. And that's kind of, like, what songwriting is. Like, if you hear a trap beat and, like, it's just the beat and you're trying to think of a melody, it's like, what would sound fire on here? Like, if I just heard this beat in the club, like, what would disappoint me? you know, or what would I be already be expecting? A lot of times when I'm writing a song, it's like I might do a flow at first and then I'm like, nah, I scrap it. Like as soon as I start, I'm like, that's way too predictable. And then I try again. Like I try to like, I get myself out of whatever like flow that mindset was. And I'm like, okay, let me try something different, because I feel like a lot of people, they go with their first mind, which is a good, it's good advice sometimes. But sometimes their first mind is a pattern, is, you know, you like how you sound when you're not really thinking about it.
Yeah, and that's what it is to be a writer, right? Is to actually give yourself the ability and the space to revise.
And it's not like poetry, because at least with poetry, people give you a prompt, and they kind of put your mind in a direction. With songs, it's like it can literally be anything. So it's like an empty notepad. Like I don't know what I'm gonna do.
So you said songwriting is something that you've begun to embrace, but you've been writing songs for people for a little while. Can you talk about some of the folks that you write with or for?
I don't want to say it like that, because if I've written anything for anybody, I don't think it's been in the nature of how I've done it recently.
Mm-hmm.
I can honestly say that Kehlani was the first person that specifically came to me and said, I want you to like come to the studio, work on this song, write this song for me. And
and what was that process like? Because that's a big record to work on.
Yeah,
thank you.
Right.
I mean, obviously, she is amazing.
Amazing.
Kehlani is like, she's so big. And not only that, like, we're friends outside of that. And so it was an honor for me, because it's like, okay, you're trusting me to come in and kind of like interpret what you're already talking about. When we wrote Honey together, I just walked in the studio and she was like recording the first part of it. And I had somewhere to go, but I wasn't trying to be in a rush, because I'm like, I know how the creative process is. But it was just like crazy, because right then I realized how quick my ideas are, and I learned like a new process out there, because when you go for a songwriting sessions, they really just want your ideas. They just want you to get those ideas out. And so the first night we were there, you know, a beat was playing and like I'm getting ready to like write something down, and she's like, oh, you want to go in the booth? And I'm like, and do what? Do what, sis? What am I doing? I don't have any words. It's like, you just go in there, like, get you, like, you know, just some auto-tune just for the reference, because you won't be singing, just to make sure you sound correct. And just, you know, do whatever comes to mind. And I remember I went in there, and while I was recording just, like, a reference, I just heard them out there, like, kind of capping, like, how are you doing that? And I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I've never done this. I've never just walked in the booth and done the first thing that comes to my mind. And so with Honey, that was kind of, you know, once she kind of laid down the foundation for the song and kind of told me, you know, she's my friend, so I know her well. I was able to just take that, and the melodies came right to me. Like I said, I don't think that, like, the ideas are ever the problem for me. It's just more so the execution and making sure that I focus on the right ones and I don't hold on too long to the ones that don't work. So.
And do you plan on working with her more, or is that opened up a lane for other, I'm sure, for other folks to holler?
It's definitely on the table now. I'm more so now not like looking for people to seek like me songwriting. It's the same thing with directing. You know, like I just went and directed like another video for Smino recently, and I know that once this video releases, a lot of people are going to be able to see like my eye for the first time. I think with this one, I was like really able to like really show like, you know, my skill and stuff. But it's the same way with songwriting. I'm not really looking for people to come and like, even I got this artist there, she dope, man. She,
you gotta
dope,
like connect like, to them.
No, like it's not even that. It's just like I just don't want to work with anybody. I would rather think about somebody that I could go crazy for and be like, oh, this is a person I want to write for. It's already people that are on my mind that I'm like, I really want to write for this person. I really want to make demos for this person. I feel like I could. And so that's how I want to go about it. I'm more like manifesting. Like I want to manifest working with this person, with that person. I don't want to write for anybody. I feel like, you know, not everybody's, I mean, Kehlani was, I had to really push her because I'm a rapper. Kehlani is not a rapper.
Right.
Kehlani can rap. I won't say like that. She got a song where she was really rapping.
But your phrasing is different than the singer.
She's not a rapper, you know? So, like, a lot of it, you know, the bridge on that song, she was like, sis, come on.
Help
like
me out.
I'm yeah. not, I can't do that. I don't think I'm, I'm like, you got it. Like, you just got to really push yourself. And I think if more singers even start thinking like that and thinking how she was in the studio and thinking like, no, these, I don't have this limit. Like, I don't have, just because I'm not a rapper doesn't mean I can't hit it the little fast flow real quick. Like,
isn't there something aesthetically about Chicago though that is that bridge, like mm-hmm. the singer rapper song?
I mean, I think that's kind of at large stress flow, honestly.
Yeah, but I feel like
Chicago's got on lot. That's
I think
it might be a Midwest thing, maybe.
Maybe,
I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like maybe it's Chicago just, is just more so like we just. Maybe that's our mentality, just challenging ourselves, period. We are so, I don't know, self-assured kind of as a people. It's like, I'm going to try anything. And, like, I think that's why we love Valet. I think that's why we really love Valet, because it was just like, he went for it. Like, his style, he, like, totally went for it and committed to it. And it was just like, oh, my God, like, this dude is dope. Like, it doesn't sound like everybody else. It's super him. And so I think that's why people started connecting with him so fast.
Yeah, I think people in Chicago just have a big wheelhouse. You know, they can do a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah. I think, because in some ways, like until recently, there hasn't been a lot of attention on here. So I think people have had to be good at one thing or many things.
And self-sufficient, yeah. right? Self-assured, self-sufficient.
Yeah.
DIY as hell.
Speaking of directing, right?
Yeah,
so you also do
so,
that.
So, yeah, let's talk about that.
Right.
Well, you did Anita, right?
Yes, yeah. I was in Anita and I directed Anita. I actually, to date, I've done 4 videos for, you know. One was a short film. The first one, we actually shot a video to the song called Ruby Red, but it never released because the person that we shot it with, it was a lot of issues with the footage. So we could never release it, but that was the first time that I think that he really believed in me and he believed in the vision. And after we shot that first video, the next morning I quit my job.
Where were you working?
I was working down the street.
A lot has revolved around this building for you. Even though you didn't know where it was. Like, where am I going?
I was working at the John Hancock building down the street at the Signature Room. And I was a host. And
wow.
I actually had 2 jobs for a long time. I stopped getting hours at once. I quit the other one and I was working at the Signature Room. It was just super different for me. I think it was the most high-end place that I've ever worked at. I was super surprised to get hired.
Were you scared as fuck to go up on the 99th floor every day? Or however long you worked there?
Not at all.
No?
But
oh, that's the one with the 360 windows?
That was a fire one day.
Oh.
That was that fire. I don't know if you guys remember. There was a fire on a lower, like, floor. And
oh, I do remember that.
I wasn't at work that day. God is good.
Yeah, right? You gotta calm down all those stairs.
Ain't he good? Amen? You're supposed to say
praise.
Amen.
You know, it's
forget,
different
it's,
tradition.
We Catholic up
different
here, okay.
No, okay. I, look, for me, I don't know. I just say Yahweh.
Shoulders,
for,
you right. know,
yeah.
Yarmulke, exactly.
Yo.
I'm just kidding. Don't kill me, Drake.
Wait.
Drake, go come for me now.
No, he don't want it with you.
He don't want it with me. Nah. Definitely not. Nah. But I worked at the Signature Room. There's a lot of bougie people. But yeah, I quit my job up there after that. And
wow, the day you were just like, yo, I did the video, I'm out? Or
I hope
just,
they don't hear this.
Who, the Signature Room?
Yes, I want to lead with that.
Okay.
Hope they don't hear this. But it was a lot of stuff going on. Like, I had like a lot of family issues. But the fact that I was just like, I had to kind of took a break from the music, and not purposely. I just was going through a lot and needed just like some time to like reconnect with my mental health. And I ended up like being in the hospital like for a little while. So after that, and I went back to work, and I had 2 jobs, and I had 1 job, and then I was just like, you know, I want to go back to this. I want to go back to doing the stuff that I love, working on the stuff that I love, and putting time into that, putting the energy into that. And since then, you know, up until now, I've been able to support myself off of just, you know, doing the art. And I've been blessed enough to be able to just, like, survive, you know, up until now. So I don't need another job yet.
Practically speaking, how do you put it all together? I mean, you're not yet on a you're not currently on a major tour and stuff like that. So how the day-to-day, you know, business end of being a self-sustained creative person, how does that work for you?
Well, really, I think the last year or so I was self-managed, so it was really, really, really hard to be the person who's booking yourself and like going to the shows and then like getting your money for yourself and like also having a safe face so people don't like go behind your back and like, oh, she's a bitch and like she's a diva. Like, I didn't want people to seem like that, and I'm not that person, but when it comes to your money, it's like you kind of have to be that person. And so I was just conflicted for a long time because I'm just like, I'm just somebody that I like to be graceful with whatever. Like, even if I'm gonna beat your ass, I want to do it gracefully.
Oh, it's lovely. Because, it's really lovely.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm Dead a lady ass. At the no, end of the day.
Right.
Dark. I have lady hands as well.
Right.
You know?
And you will place them upon a motherfucker.
Lay them. Yes. Lay yeah. them.
Appropriately.
Lay them on someone. But, you know, besides all of that, you know, like, I just tried to just stay focused and not get too caught up in like the whirlwind of stuff. I think that a lot of people I felt taken advantage of for a little while, but most recently, like right when I felt like I was reaching my limit, like I started like expanding my team and having people reach out to me and say like, oh, you're dope, I've been following you for years, I think that like it's time to just like, it's a go. And so I feel like, although in my city I feel like I have a regard, I think that this is the first time that I'm just like really about to introduce myself as an artist. And so yeah. now I've like growing a little team, it's a little bit easier. Definitely.
And you're getting money off of, you know, I don't want to go in your wallet, but you're getting money off of gigs, off of royalties, off of...
Yeah, I get, my money get around.
Okay.
You know what
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
saying?
Yeah.
Licensing is crucial, like, syncing is crucial, streaming is crucial, you know, because, like, streams add up over time, just, like, to hit a million stuff, like over a million streams on Father Time.
Yeah.
I haven't even seen the royalties crazy. For that yet.
Oh, you haven't? Yeah. Because you have, you have over
do,
a million. Yeah.
When Congrats. I do, it's yeah. going to be very handsome. So all of this stuff adds up. I think with artists is not like, because when people look at artists, they like, you get in the bands. Like, you know, I know when you get a gig, it's like a couple that is like racks here, racks there. However true that is, like artists, like everybody knows when you are an artist, you're basically a freelancer. Money takes time. Like, I could be getting paid 20 grand for something, but I won't see it 6 months from now. So it won't matter right now. You know what I mean? So
and
I
you're think, not even getting the 20, right? You got to pay your team. You got to right, get there. Right, you got to pay your way there. You got
taxes, splits. Like, if it's a
hotel,
song,
travel.
If somebody produced it. Like, it depends on what it is. But, like, all of that stuff, like, there's expenses. And people don't think about that. Why? Because they're not in your shoes. Like, what could you possibly be spending money on? Like, a lot of shit, my nigga. Mm. Like, and you wouldn't know because you're not here and it's okay. Like, I don't know what doctors spend money on. I really don't, because I'm not a fucking doctor. But when I am an artist, I know that as much money that I'm making, that money like it takes money to make money. I've even had to turn down shows because I couldn't afford to get there and they couldn't afford to give me a deposit. And so it's like, if you can't give me money, I'm not gonna be there, you know. And yeah. it sucks because they want you there and you want to be there, but it's just like, what can you do? But luckily, you know, things are changing obviously, and I think after the project drops, a lot of people are going to be super excited to have me at their colleges. So,
yeah,
doing a couple like college festivals this summer, which is going to be cool.
Nice. That's exciting. Yeah, colleges will rock with you heavy.
Yeah.
I want, you know, a little about maybe aesthetics, because I know you've been cultivating your own personal aesthetic for
right.
a long
oh.
time.
Are you talking about style?
Yeah, style.
I was actually thinking about that.
Fashion.
Yeah.
yeah
I mean, how right. does that play into
super fly yeah. out here? You know what I mean?
Y'all like, not like, gonna believe it, but I really don't feel like I have style.
All right. Well,
y'all not gonna believe it. But
silly, we're just, you know.
I don't know.
Basic.
I don't know.
How is that possible?
I don't know if Smee is watching right now, but he can vouch that I really don't believe that I have a style. Whenever I have a good outfit and I get approved by my friends, I get really excited because I feel like I'm from the West Side. I have this natural tackiness to me that I really can't help. And so there have been some... if I've ever dropped the ball on my fashion and people didn't see it, it's because I have good friends. And nice. I have friends that are like,
well, that's
sis.
Important. That's important.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Good. Rappers need editors, and so do fashionistas.
So, you know, yeah.
Fashionistas.
But luckily, I think my best outfits, I pre-plan. I'm a very calculated person. So, like, I pre-plan. You know what I mean? Like, I just... I think my, like, for real, my best outfits the day before, I'm like, I should wear this hairstyle with these shoes and this type of dress. And I want this type of silhouette and then these accessories. And then the next day, I put it all together and I put it on and it looks exactly how I pictured it. So I'm like, those are the best. That's the best with anything. I think anything that I do is better when I pre-plan it, which is why I'm calculating.
And do you all plan together sometimes? Because every now and again, you and Samina will pop up on the gram together. I'm like, oh my God, they're going to go to Great America and win every pageant. Do you know what I mean? Like,
we get dressed at the same time, but we do not plan. A lot of stuff we do on, like, the... Somebody just caught us, like, today, like, on our story, doing, like, the same pose, just, like, looking all sad. I'm like, oh, they're missing each other. And, like, we didn't even try to do that. We're just the same person sometimes. So, it happens. I also wear a lot of his clothes, so it's hard not to match with him most of the time.
Or to not be Flea, right?
Exactly. My man has a lot of Flea clothes. Yeah. Too many.
That's you guys have a fairly, would you say, public relationship?
I mean, if it's not public, it's because a lot of people are still realizing that we're actually in a relationship. I see a lot of tweets, like, per week, like, wow, Samina and John Doe are dating? What? This is news to me. And I'm just like, every week y'all do this. Like, for real?
Well, and it's like all the time. You guys are also referencing each other on social media and everything.
I don't think we've ever really come out and be like, hey, we're a couple, but what the fuck?
I mean, it's like pretty plain as day, but exactly. You know, or plain as night.
How can you
But do you all make a choice to do that? Or I mean, just to be public like that, cavalier like that? Or is it just natural?
I think it came over time because me and Smee talked for a very, like, a few months before we became official. So we weren't really public then. I was just obviously super supportive of his music. And we started making a lot of music together and putting that out. And so, you know, a lot of people that listen to me are like, oh, I just got put on a Smino by John Doe. Like, he's super dope. And so when we started dating... It happened slowly, but we kind of gradually went into it. Only because, you know, you want to be sure. You don't want to just be online and then something happens. Be like, damn, what happened to Dudas?
Right. Like, people be checking for that shit.
You know? And I really prefer people to mind their business. But, you know, it is what it is. Like, regardless of... I think regardless of anything, even if, you know, God forbid, anything was to happen between us... We're really best friends. Like, and I think that's why people have such a hard time figuring out if we're actually in a relationship, because we're just really close. And we talk to each other like we're best friends. So a lot of people can't really tell, like, are they close or are they, you know, doing a damn thing?
Well, that's dope. That's dope. So, go ahead.
Oh, I mean, so I feel like you kind of, like, gravitate between all these groups, you know? Like, what would you say your relationship with, like, Pivot Gang and, like, Zero Fatigue is? And
I want to say I'm like a sister, but I'm really like an auntie. So it's kind of like, you know.
For both?
For everybody. Mm. I mean, I feel like a lot of collectives. I'm cool with Save Money. Like, I'm cool with a lot of collectives in Chicago. They know me. I mean, some Save Money, like, members, I'm like a little sis because they've known me for so long, since I was in high school. I mean, I'm just like a cool... I'm a cool girl, so, like, it's not really, like, a... I don't really have to be affiliated with anybody. Like, I'm cool with a lot of pro-era members in New York, and people started affiliating me with them, and it's like, you know, they cool. Like,
and, like, them people, and, like, yeah you do.
Everybody, yeah. You know? I just, like, I feel like I gravitate toward real artists, like, real people, and as long as you're genuine, I can get along with you. If you are not genuine, then... We probably won't go far, and that's fine. I'm very strict on both. Like, if we're friends, we're friends. If we're not, like, that's just it. So, you know, I think a lot of people have just a lot of respect for me because I feel like I've earned it. Like,
You've been out here for a while, you know?
Yeah, and just like as a person, not even as an artist, I think I just have a pretty good reputation with people. I don't really like cross people. I don't, you know, I've never done anyone dirty. I can't say so. I think a lot of people just have a lot of respect for me, and because there's no reason not to. It's just one of those things. Like, there's really no reason, like, not to have respect for me, because I have respect for everyone else.
Yeah, well, we certainly have a ton of respect for you.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
But, you know, before we get out of here, you know, what when you're even now, like, who are some of the folks that you are being or taking inspiration from or inspired by? Music, sure, but also any
books,
other
TV shows,
anything that you're watching,
films,
listening,
you know,
to.
Yeah.
Well, I'll start with music. I'm very, very, very inspired by the overall the female influence right now in music. I'm a little annoyed with the female rap trend right now, but I really do adore of the attention that's on women right now and kind of this market and demographic that's growing with women and with black people in general and people of color in general that are artists getting more attention. I'm very inspired by like shows like Atlanta and How to Get Away with Murder and Secure. I watch Grown-ish from Black-ish from time to time. Just all of the newer stuff, just as a writer and as a director, because I feel like I want to be one of those influencers for the new generation of making original stuff. I feel like we have a lot of remake culture right now, and I hate it. I'm not a fan. So that's what inspires me. Originality, creativity, things that are new, and people that are super real and genuine.
I would love to see a TV show, like a Jean Doe West Side Auntie TV show. You know what I mean?
Man, you don't even know. Like I said, I got ideas. So I have two very major stories already. Like,
all right.
Trying to decide if I want them on TV or if I want a movie.
Great.
I want to do Netflix, I want to do TV. Like, I don't know. Like,
Great.
I'm on some manifesting. Like, whatever I decide is what I'm going to do.
Episodic Netflix is really the way.
Netflix only because I know how I am and I know how I want to build my stories. And I'm like,
also,
I hate when there's too much suspense and then I got to wait weeks. That'll make me stop watching.
I just want to binge.
Just so I don't
honestly
have to wait. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the reasons, but
get it.
Again, I'm really inspired, especially all of the artists in Chicago, all of the artists in the Midwest, all of the like female artists everywhere. Kari Foe, Cupcake is dope. I listen to a lot of people. I was listening to her music recently. Just a lot of people. Ombre Perkins, all of my sisters, Drea Smith, Raven Lene, Via Rosa, like No Name. Everybody's dope. Bella Boss, like everybody's dope. A lot of women are really dope, and I think they're about to start getting the recognition. So yeah, besides that, 7 Seconds on Netflix.
Oh, I just watched that.
The Square, I just got to put onto this really abstract movie called The Square. I'm inspired by anything that opens my mind up and just kind of like keeps breaking those walls down for me and like pushes me in new directions, because all of my ideas come from inspiration, some type of inspiration, and like expanding upon that. So
true.
Good. Word.
Dope.
Well, yo, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're
thank
excited
you.
For the EP. Wait, you got a title for the EP? Can you say it or not?
I'm still deciding. So unfortunately, no.
Okay. That's
I
good.
Can't say the name. I think I will announce it on my birthday.
Okay. Oh, also, where can we find you on socials?
You can find me on Twitter. That's Sean Doe. On Instagram, that's Sean Doe. You can book me or send me money at johndoemanagement@gmail.com.
And how do you spell Sean Doe? Just
Sean Doe is spelled the French pronunciation way.
Oui, oui.
Jean as in jeans, J-E-A-N, Doe, D-E-A-U-X. And, you know, that's how you follow me.
Yo, thank you so much for being
thank
here.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you, DJ Exhibit, for the beat.
Langston Olsen for the logo and art.
Big up, WGN Radio. Shout out to our super producer, DJ Cash Era.
And boss man, Todd Manley.
Thank you, Dami.
And Marlena, the snack provider.
Shout out, Rena, the official photog in the corner store.
Stay up with us, Shy Corner Store on Instagram, Twitter, and SoundCloud.
And please, y'all, please rate and subscribe on iTunes, Apple Music, SoundCloud, and wherever you listen to a podcast. Consider giving us those 5 stars.
And tell a friend.
And thank you for listening and rocking with us. We'll see you next week.